Good evening, everyone, and welcome to a new episode of the Music Matters podcast. It is Thursday, November the 29th, 2018. It is currently 5:09 p.m. Central Time. Now, I don't know what you're going to be doing this evening, but my evening plans, they're very clear. I'm going to sit here, and I'm going to stare at the clock. Now, why am I going to be staring at the clock? Because I have nothing else better to do. No, I have things to do, but the clock and me, we have a close relationship this evening because I'm looking at that clock and I'm watching it counting down to something. Now, you may be asking, what is it counting down to? I mean, what could be so important that you are looking at that clock all evening, waiting for it to count down to something? That's got to be a big deal. I mean, it's got to be like, wait, a birthday. It's got to be a national holiday. It's got to be something. Well, it's a big deal. And it should be a big deal to all music fans, but I don't think younger fans really appreciate it. But we'll talk about that in a minute. And about less than 6 hours from now, the clock will hit 11 p.m. Central Time for me because I live here in West Texas. And when it hits 11 p.m. Central Time, that means all the new music becomes available on all the streaming services. It is New Music Night. And every single Thursday, I get excited for 11 p.m. Central Time. Because to me, it's one of the most amazing things about living in 2018 that I believe a lot of younger people take for granted. So let's do this. Before I tell you why this evening is so important, other than it being New Music Night, which is always important, this one is a special night. But before we get to why, let's do this. Let's take a little trip. You ready? Let's go back in time. Let's go back to, say, 1983. 1983 is the year, the place, Abilene, Texas. I live in Texas, and I lived in Texas in 1983. I think I lived in Buffalo Gap, Texas, to be exact, but you can't find Buffalo Gap. Buffalo Gap is about 20-something minutes south of Abilene. Abilene's the larger city, about 109,000 people, not even a very large city. But if you needed anything back then, you had to drive to Abilene. And if you wanted new music, you had to drive to Abilene. Now, back then, on New Music Day, this is what you had to do. You weren't able to do anything at 11 p.m. Central Time. You weren't able to do anything at midnight. What you were able to do is go to sleep. And then you woke up early in the morning. And no matter how early you woke up, if you arrived at the record store, guess what you found when you arrived at the record store? That the doors were locked and you could look through the window, but you couldn't do anything. And you waited. And then finally, here comes the record store clerk, opens the door and says, "How are you doing?" "I'm doing great." "Well, what are you here for?" "Oh, it's New Music Day. These are the albums I want to check out." He would open the door. Sometimes they wouldn't even have the boxes unpacked and they would let you cut open the boxes and take out those new LPs or those CDs. Ooh, I can just remember the smell of that box of new vinyl or new CDs or whatever I was going to buy that particular day. And I would go through the box and look at all the new music and go, "Oh, this is amazing. But I can only afford to buy 2 albums. So I had to make my choice. What 2 albums am I going to buy? Now, I would walk around the store for hours looking at every new release, but I could only buy 2 in some cases. Sometimes I could only buy 1. All right. But I would buy what I could afford. And it was so awesome to get this new music. And then I would run home. Now, sometimes what I would do is I would hang out in the store because throughout the day, they would play new music. The new music that came in, they would throw it on. And I'd be like, "Oh, what's that? Who's that? Who's that? Who's that?" And sometimes people would come in and you'd talk about the new releases. But then I would rush home and then you would unwrap that album and then you spent hours listening to that thing over and over and over again. And well, you had to wait till the next time you could buy music. Sometimes it was the next week. Sometimes you didn't have money the next week. So you could go to the store and look at all the new releases, but you had to wait till you got the money. That's how it worked back then. Now, I know that seems like, well, yeah, that's obvious. Obviously, that's how it works. But I want you to understand the difference between that and what you get to experience in 2018. See, in 2018, it goes something like this. At 11 p.m. Central Time, whatever time it is in your time zone, midnight, whatever, when that clock hits the top of that hour, it's like the record store flings its doors open and says, it's all yours. It's all yours. Everything in here is yours. And all you have to give me is $9.99 a month. And for $9.99 a month, you have access to everything in the store. New, old, it doesn't matter. And so at 11 p.m., the store opens and there it is. Every single new release that is released tonight, I will have access to, and I can listen to them over and over and over again. I can save them into my library. I can even download them to my device. They're there for me. And I can just enjoy them and listen to them and think about it and talk about it and analyze it. The only way I could have done that in 1983 here in Texas is at midnight break into the store. Right? And I could have sit there and be, ooh, listen to this and listen to this. And I probably could have gotten away gotten away with it for an hour or two until someone called the cops. And then I would have been, you know, placed in handcuffs and led away. And I don't think it would have been worth it. Well, sometimes it would have been worth it because there were some albums I really wanted to get my hands on at midnight. But most of the time, just sitting in front of that store waiting for the record guy to show up. Sometimes they would get there late and I'd be really irritated. I have great memories of sitting there. Now, in some ways, it's easier to appreciate the music back then because you didn't have access to everything. And sometimes the more you have, the less you appreciate it. And because you bought each individual album, it gave you a sense of ownership. So you would go home and because you just paid whatever you just paid for that album, you're going to listen to the whole thing at least a number of times because you wanted to get your money's worth. Today, it's just easy to take it for granted. New music comes out 11 o'clock tonight. Who cares? It'll be there tomorrow. I hate that some of that excitement is lost, but it's not lost on me. Every Thursday night, I hope it never goes away. There's an excitement that, man, at 11 o'clock, the record store is open, and it's all mine. It's all mine. I can listen to everything. I can listen to it and go, ooh, that album was horrible. I can go, ooh, what's this? Never heard of this. And I can listen to it. And I don't have to worry that I just wasted my money. I can just listen to the whole thing. And you've discovered new genres, new music, new artists. It's an amazing time to be alive. All right? So I just want you to appreciate what you have. I do really do. I want you to appreciate what you have, because it's so easy to take it for granted. But trust me, never take it for granted. If you are a music fan, new music night, man, should be like, it's almost like a high. Like it's almost taking a drug and getting high. It's almost like a shot of heroin. It's almost like, you know, smoking crack. It's like you get this high, but you don't have all the negative side effects. You just get new music. And tonight, oh, we've got some new music to talk about. But in this case, we're only going to talk about one album. Tonight at 11 p.m. Central Time, every person should stay awake and listen to this whole album the minute it is released. I don't care that you have to wake up in the morning. Forget sleep. This is going to be awesome. Now, we have to go back in time again. Okay, this time, instead of going back to Texas 1983, we're going to go back to June of 1997, Omaha, Nebraska. Now, this time, it was June the 16th, 1997. I could be wrong on the day, but I believe it was June the 16th, 1997. I found myself in the Old Market area of Omaha, downtown Omaha, sitting in front of a Homer's record store, waiting for them to open. Because a band by the name of Radiohead was about to release, I believe it was their third album. The name of the album was OK Computer. I remember going home and listening to that with a pair of headphones and going, this is revolutionary. This is amazing. Now, this frustrates me a little bit because I kind of messed up with this album. And here's how I messed up. I was amazed by it, blown away. But it took, I can't remember exactly how long it took. It felt, if my memory serves me right, it felt like it took like a month, two, maybe 3 months. And the next thing you know, I looked around and it seemed like the whole world became a Radiohead fan. And all these people who I told about Radiohead and they ignored me. Now everyone was walking around like Radiohead. And it made me almost dislike the album, which was a foolish thing to do. Sometimes hardcore music fans fall for this. It's kind of a trap, but it's one of those things where you've got this, like this is my thing. Radiohead is my thing. Nobody knows about them. This is my band. They're awesome. They're too cool for all these normal people. And the next thing you know, you're like, wait a minute, how did all these normal people find out about this amazing band? Maybe this band isn't as cool as I thought. That's a bad way to think, but in this particular case, it happened. So I kind of just put the album away and was just kind of irritated. And I was kind of done with Radiohead. It kind of just, I know that's a bad way to think, and typically I don't do that. I didn't do it with Michael Jackson Thriller. I didn't do it with a lot of things, but in this case, I fell for it. I don't know why. I don't know what was in the air, but I literally fell for it, and like there's no excuse for it. There's this beautiful piece of art, and I discarded it because it became too mainstream and too popular. That is a dumb thing to do, but I did it. But that album, OK Computer, is considered by many to be a generational defining album, that the album really defined the generation of 1997. It really captured the essence, that it was this amazing piece of art, beautifully made, very influential, and the critics loved it. People loved it. It's just, it reached, this album kind of became, and I know this is almost blasphemous to say, but in a kind of a weird way, it became the Sgt. Pepper's of 1997. It became the Sgt. Pepper's of the 90s. And I know that's like, ooh, that's like, I think I'm going to have a heart attack even saying that. Okay, you should never use that term, Sgt. Pepper. You've got to be very careful to say that because, you know, Sgt. Pepper's by the Beatles is considered one of the greatest albums of all time. In fact, by many, it is considered the greatest album ever made. So to say that in the same breath as OK Computer is a little bit, maybe it's a little bit hyperbole, but I think what I mean by that is Sgt. Pepper really defined a generation. And many believe OK Computer really defined a generation as well. Now, why am I talking about 1997 and OK Computer? Well, because, and now less than 6 hours, I'm watching the clock. Okay, getting closer. The clock is ticking down to an album being released tonight that many believe will be this generation's OK Computer. Now, before I name the album, let me just warn you there. It's far different when Beatles released Sgt. Pepper and when Radiohead released OK Computer for an album to become so influential. And it's more, it was easier for albums then to become so influential because people bought the albums and because they paid for them and you don't know when they were going to have money to buy another album. They may live with that album for a month, for 2 months, listening to it over and over and over again. And because they paid for it, they're definitely much more likely to pull it back out and play it again because they're looking at a stack of all these things that they paid for. That represents money. So there, in a sense, people would live with an album sometimes for a year, listening to it over and over and over and over until they would wear it out. So that sense, the album became a part of your life. It became a part of your DNA. In 2018, it's harder for an album to reach that kind of critical influence because, well, every Thursday, the record store opens and you have access to everything. So you get an album Thursday night, Friday morning. You're like, oh, this is awesome. You listen to it over the weekend. If you really love it, you make it till next Thursday. And then guess what happens next Thursday? The record store is open again. And now you can go get anything else you want. And forget just waiting till the next week. You have access to every album that was released that week. So that album that you think, oh, this is amazing, this is awesome, there's a good chance by Monday or Tuesday you've already moved on to another album. The joke a lot of people say in the music industry today is an album is only relevant for 72 hours. Well, if it's only relevant for 72 hours, it's not influential. Does that make sense? Now, we have exceptions. Drake, you know, lived, you know, Drake puts out an album and 18 months later, it's still being streamed a billion times per second. Okay, so we have the exceptions. All I'm saying is this album that's about to be released, I know that the critics are claiming that it's going to be in the same category as Radiohead's OK Computer. I just have to be hesitant to say that because I think the album that's going to be released is going to be amazing. And I've already been analyzing the lyrics and talking to people about the lyrics and I'm excited. I just feel that there's a chance by Wednesday or Thursday, a lot of people will have already moved on. That's one of the curses of living in this. We live in an amazing time and there's a lot of good in it, but that is one of the negatives. All right, now, I know what you're saying. You've been talking a long time. You still haven't told me the name of the album. I know I haven't because I wanted you to wait. Are you ready? The name of the group, The 1975. The 1975. The name of the album. A brief inquiry into online relationships. A brief inquiry into online relationships by The 1975. That is the album you need to wait up for. That is the album you need to listen to in its entirety and listen to it in one sitting. Just listen to the whole thing. Let the narrative play itself out. I'm not saying it's a concept album, but I think there is definitely going to be a thematic thread that goes through the album that we're going to try to pull that thread out and analyze it and understand it and interpret it. But just the title gives you an idea that it's speaking about something relevant to this generation, a brief inquiry into online relationships. Some reviewers have classified this album this way. This is the millennials' OK Computer. That this album is going to be generational defining. That this is going to be massively influential. It's going to be massively impactful. Some reviewers are already referring to it as a masterpiece. Some are referring to this as a brilliant piece of art that's going to speak to so many people. I don't know how it's ultimately going. I know it's going to be received, put it this way. I know it's going to be received by the critics, by many critics, as being one of the best albums of 2018. Many have already classified it the best album of 2018, even before it's released. All right, so there's a lot of hype behind it. Now, sometimes something doesn't live up to the hype. Sometimes it does. I'm excited. I have only listened to, what's it, 1, 2, 3, 4, yeah, 5 tracks. 5 singles have been released for the album. And I have listened to one day I left them on repeat basically for almost a 24-hour period, just listening to them over and over and over. I'm intrigued by it speaking to a generation. I'm intrigued by the music on it. I'm intrigued by the lyrical content. I'm intrigued about analyzing it. I'm intrigued that it's an album to talk about. And I am intrigued to see if an album like this can push through that short attention span where people just want that next single. They don't really want an album. We're so much in a playlist single mindset in 2018. We're not in an album mindset. I hope this will be a situation where a lot of people will work through the album and talk about it and analyze it. Whether you agree with what they say or disagree, it still just gets back to that wonderful exercise of listening to albums and discussing albums. Oh, I remember those days. So tonight, whenever you hear this, if you hear this after New Music Day, New Music Night, whenever you hear it, immediately stop what you're doing, go to your streaming service of choice, put on a good pair of headphones, and listen to A Brief Inquiry into Online Relationships by The 1975. I don't think you'll regret it. If you have any interpretations or thoughts about the album, we want to hear them. Please contact us. Let us know what you think. I've already got one track from the album on the Music Matters playlist, which is available to you on Apple and Spotify. I've got to do some work. I've been deleting some stuff and updating the playlist. I want to do a major overhaul. And so hopefully that will occur in a little bit. Maybe I'll do that while I'm watching the clock tonight. Who knows? But that's what I want you to just appreciate what you have available to you And tonight is a great example of being able to use what is available to you. Because here's this album that all the critics are raving about. And you don't have to wait till in the morning and get in your car and drive to a record store. We can break into the record store legally at 11 p.m. tonight, rip open the box, take out the LP, take out the CD, throw it in the player, place it on the turntable, drop the needle on the record, and listen to this album the minute it is released. And we can just cherish that wonderful gift. And I know that there's negatives to it. There are great amount of negatives to having access to so much. This is a situation where I want you to just focus on the one for now, and then we'll catch up on all and everything else. Because there's some other albums being released tonight that I want to hear, but this is the one that I want us to focus on, because I think this album is going to have a lot to say about this generation and about society in 2018. The name of the band, the 1975, the name of the album, A Brief Inquiry into Online Relationships, and this has been another episode of the Music Matters podcast, because music matters. And you get to have a little time travel. 1983, Abilene, Texas, back to 1997, Omaha, Nebraska, the Old Market, Homer's Records. You've got to do everything. And now hopefully you are prepared to sit back and really dig in to A Brief Inquiry into Online Relationships by the 1975. You see how I just keep saying it over and over? I want it to be like a subliminal message that like, you fall asleep and all of a sudden you're like, wait, the 1975, A Brief Inquiry into Online Relationships. I just want it to be stuck in your head that you just keep saying it over and over and over until your mind tells you, you must listen, you must listen. Listen, analyze, interpret the lyrics, and interpret the sounds. How does the music convey the message? How does the music help with the lyrical content? There's just so many different ways. We could do an entire program on how to analyze an album, but you go do it. Let me know what you think. All right, everyone, have a great new music night. And, well, put the music on, put the headphones on, and turn the volume up. Have a good one.
Thanks for listening to the podcast that we produce here at WACMatters.com. Just in case you didn't know, we have a lot of different shows running right now. There's Life's What You Rate It, where me and my brother Mark rate everything on a scale from 1 to 10 that exists in the entire universe. Tune In, where Marcus and his friend Karsten talk about cartoons and their value for people of all ages. Of course, Whack Tracks, where me and a bunch of friends make commentary tracks for whatever shows or movies we might be into at the time. And our newest show on the network, The Music Matters, where my friend Trevor creates a discussion around all the matters relating to music. If you'd like to support the content we make here at WACMatters.com, please go to WACMatters.StoreMV.com and check out our merchandise section. We sell t-shirts right now, and there's more merchandise to come. Even if you don't want to buy a t-shirt, there is a donate button at WACMatters.com that you can use to support the content that we already make and to help fund creative ideas for the future. Additionally, this podcast is also brought to you by Audible.com. If you go to audibletrial.com/WACMatters, you can sign up for a free 30-day trial with Audible.com where you get to listen to a free audiobook of your choosing and can continue subscribing for an awesome audiobook content subscription. Remember, that's audibletrial.com/WACMatters. We love you all and hope you will continue checking out the content we make here at WACMatters.com. Have a great day.